Matthew, please, chapter 24. Matthew 24. Not too many of the older Christians are here, but maybe most of the workers are here. So personally, I want to thank Jackson for feeding us and keeping us nice and round and satisfied all weekend. So we appreciate that very much. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. There are a few days I would like to talk about for just about 15 minutes or more as far as our Bible is concerned. There are days that we live in. Days that we live in are very dangerous days. In the last days, Paul tells Timothy, perilous times shall come. Obviously, doesn't need to be a scientist to be able to detect that we're living in those days. Living in a day in which it is very, very dangerous. Difficulties on every hand. This ISIS group that is across the water, I'm nervous for them because there is something that is behind all of that that is very, very frightening. There was a clip that came out in our newspaper in the home in which we, city in which we live in Marion. Mississippi Bridge was under a bombing threat. That's just getting a little bit too close to home. The ISIS has settled in and was going to bomb a bridge across the Mississippi. From my front door, depending, of course, where that bridge is. Maybe it's down south in the near the Gulf. But if it's in the Midwest, that's only just a couple of hours from where we live. We live in very, very dangerous days. And you boys and girls that are so very, very privileged, it all could be over very, very soon. We could very well be on the very threshold of the end coming. Not only are we living in dangerous days, and difficult days. But let me assure you, you dear, precious boys and girls, that there has to be something settled. You cannot leave. I expect to leave the earthly scene without having the salvation of your soul settled. The first day I want to look at, or the second day I want to look at, is a day of one's death. It's appointed unto man once to die. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that. You can see it on the chart. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So there isn't a day that's appointed. I have never thought of a man so much as I have of Scott Hayes. His appointment was almost kept. So near, so very near, a miraculous recovery from almost sure death. Dear Scott, I have thanked my God over and over and over again for his recovery. And I want to also think of boys and girls that have been taken away into the darkness. There's now a little coffin that's now sitting in a funeral home. In that little coffin is maybe a six-year-old that had a disease, a terminal disease that could not be cured. Perhaps maybe there's that child and running out in front of a speeding motorist was suddenly cut down. And in that funeral home today in Iowa lies a 10-year-old boy. Was he loved? He was loved with all his heart. His parents loved him. Grandpa and grandma loved him. That dear little boy lies. Never will I forget the day when my mother called dear little Dalen, 9. Any 9-year-old boys here today? 9 years old. Thinking that the noise that he heard coming from the west was the bus. And it was a bus that was coming. And I'm going to take one more spin with my little bicycle, a little motorbike, and down the farmer's highway, down the driveway he went, a lengthy driveway. He heard the noise coming from the west. But what he didn't know, that there was a noise coming from the east. Big cement truck. And that cement truck driver, thinking that that little boy, the very apple of that family's eye, 9 years old, brown-eyed, and I'd have to say a beauty, didn't stop, went out on the road to make a U-turn and come back and throw the bike down and make a run for it to beat the bus. But when he got out in the center of that road to make the U-turn, never dreamed that the cement truck had no chance of stopping. I still remember the cries from my mother, because our little nephew, Dalen, smashed, bike and all, underneath the cement truck. Well, remember going to that funeral? Leonard DeBoer preaching an excellent message. Little Dalen is gone. Some of you boys are 8. Some of you boys are 9. Some of you boys are 10. Where would you have been if that had been your bike? If you had been on that bike, dear children, where would your soul be? The day of one's death. I remember the day of my father's death. Oh, that was a day to be expected. A day when my father had gotten cancer, and he was only given a few days to live, pancreatic cancer. And as we gathered around the bed, I said to Dad, any last words? Don't wait till you're dying before you ask Dad any last words. That was a dumb thing to say. I remember Dad looking up at us, shaking his head. Mom bent down and kissed him 3 times. And after the 3rd kiss, went to glory. Why the difference? Oh, the sadness at Dalen's death. The wailing at the funeral. A boy that's gone. But at Dad's death, there were smiles. 50 years of age when he got to Christ. 30 years he lived it and proved it. One of the best overseers in Iowa. Well, it took him to heaven. Day of death. It's coming. The third day I'd like to talk about is the day of departure. We're going up. We're all going up. One of these days, dear children, you're going to say goodbye to mom and dad. One of these days, every saint that you know, every Christian that you're aware of, we're going to disappear in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And here's a verse that I've been thrilled with: and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Two shall be in the bed, one shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Oh, dear children, the day is coming when you know that truth. You are aware of what the rapture of the church is. It's the coming of the Savior. And he's going to make no respect of persons. There's not going to be a delay. I don't believe it, friend, that there's a boy and here's a girl. And maybe they've been thinking about salvation. And maybe they've been thinking some serious thoughts about being saved. And perhaps maybe the Savior is about ready to give the shout. Yes, but what about that boy at Jackson or that girl at Jackson? And they're just thinking a little serious now about God's salvation. But when the Savior's ready to give the shout, won't make any difference about the boy or the girl at Jackson. The day has come. Day of departure. I don't know what it's going to be like. I'm thankful I don't have to witness it. I can't fathom what it's going to be like when perhaps maybe sitting at the dining room table, maybe perhaps driving at a group in the car, and all of a sudden, the Savior gives a shout. Maybe two in the car are taken. Maybe three at the table, and maybe one at the table is taken. But there's a great division, and those that are ready at sitting at the table, they'll be taken to glory. But those that are left, how about it, dear boy? First Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that there's a great day of departure. A day that cannot be. That cannot be stopped in God's time. There is a day coming when that which he has promised, he's going to fulfill. And every saint that has died, and everyone that has gone to be with Christ, the body and soul reunited, and to stand then and to be taken to glory. But quickly, I want to talk about another day. Because in Luke chapter 23, there is a day of darkness. I was thinking about that day this morning as I observed the loaf of bread and a cup of wine on the table. Luke chapter 23 tells me about the sixth and the ninth hour, that from the sixth to the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the face of the inhabited earth. Such darkness, friend, that I cannot possibly describe. A darkness that can be felt. A darkness when the suffering Savior sank into darkness that only he could go through. There was a malefactor on one side of the Lord Jesus, and the malefactor said, come down, save thyself and us. Come down from the cross, save thyself and us. And the other malefactor says, we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. The one malefactor claimed the provision that Christ had made. The other malefactor said no. But here's what I want to say. In that darkness, in the day of darkness, when he looked upon those men that had did their worst, and then he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Dear boy, dear girl, he wants to forgive you tonight. He wants to wash your sins away. I love the old hymn, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's a day of darkness. The horror that the suffering Savior went through. The sun refused to shine, and the vengeance of sin rolled over that holy, harmless, and undefiled one. I want to come quickly because I want to center here mostly on the Day of Delight. I'm reminded that Luke chapter 19 and about verse 9, this day is salvation come to this house. There was a day in our experience, and we still go back to that day. We go back to that day with joy and joy unspeakable as we think of the time when we first understood was for me, yes, all for me. Oh, love of God, so great, so free. Oh, wondrous love, how Sheldon sang, he died for me. We stepped into a home here this past summer, slid up to the countertop, visiting with Tammy, little Leah, 9. Any 9-year-old girls here? Leah, 9 years of age, slid up against Grandma. Grandma is glad to be with Leah, the family. Never dreamed what she was thinking. A few minutes went by. She said to Grandma, how did you get saved? Oh, man. How did you get saved? Right out of the blue. Come to find out, Leah had been thinking about it for about 6 months. She's been wondering how she can really know that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How is it that you know? Grandma, how did you get saved? I'm sitting on the sun porch, not paying any attention, and pretty soon I hear Grandma telling Leah how she got saved. I thought, wow, how'd that all start? Believe it or not, I kept my mouth shut. You can't believe that, can you? But I did. Pretty soon I hear Grandma telling Leah, here's a verse that you need to read, Leah. Leah opens up her Bible. There they are, only about an hour after we arrived. And there they are. They got the Bible open at the kitchen bar there. Leah, look at this verse, what it said. Who loved me, the last sentence. Look at that last sentence. Leah, who loved me and gave himself for me. Leah and Grandma talked for a little bit, and as they talked for a little bit, all of a sudden I see Leah go upstairs, Mother go upstairs, Grandma sitting there all by herself. They were up there for about a half hour, and then I saw a sight that every parent wants to see. Here come Grandma downstairs. I'm sorry. Here come Mommy downstairs. And here come Leah downstairs. And both of them got the big tears rolling down their cheeks. Oh, Leah says, as she finally tells Grandpa, she says, I never knew that the Lord Jesus died just for me. Just for me. Is it good enough? That would be good enough for some girl to trust tonight. When the Lord Jesus died, who did he die for? When he went through all the suffering and the shame and the darkness, friend, who did he die for? If you could understand tonight for the first time that it was for me. Yes, all for me. You see, you got to get real selfish about this business of being saved. You need to be real self-centered about it. It's my sin. It's my soul. And it's my God that I've got to meet. And if you don't have that soul, those sins are not washed away, friend. A great day of delight. I still remember it. Remember when you got saved, brother? Mine happened way back in 19. Let's see. Way before most of you were born. 1961, you remember back in that far? This man maybe is the only man that old enough to remember that. It's 1961, 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. The sun is just going down in the west. I'm looking at my Bible and that old 57 Chevrolet. Oh, what a car that was. Four-door hardtop. Made heads turn. They drove down my hometown in Appleton. Beauty. In that old car. Sitting there, that steering wheel was big around as a bushel basket. But looking at Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, I'm coming to understand that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I could see something in that verse. I was lost. I was the one that the Savior came for. I was the one that He came from heaven for. He came to seek a certain class of people. Dear boys, He's coming to seek you tonight. He came to seek you. He came to seek you that were lost. Any lost sinners in the meeting tonight? And if there's a lost one, who did He die for? When I looked at that verse, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, I could understand He coming. I could understand why the Savior came. He's seeking the lost. And I didn't have to ask anybody who the lost one was. I knew it was me. If that verse means what it says, I just got saved. He died for me because I was lost. But Jesus found me. Dear boys, would you take it tonight, dear girl? Would you trust Him? If you're lost and you don't know how to find the way and you don't know how you can know your sins forgiven, would you read the Bible verse and would you ask yourself the question, who's the lost one, number one, and what did He do for those that were lost? I'm going to close my Bible, but you leave yours open. There's another day that's coming. It's a great day of doom. Revelation chapter 6 says, the great day of His wrath has come. The suffering Savior tonight has nail prints in His hand to manifest His love and compassion. But in that day, there will be no compassion shown. There will be no love shown. There will be no mercy shown. Because the great day of His wrath has come. And there's a question that at the end of verse 17. You know what the question is? Who shall be able to stand? Dear boys and girls, would you trust Him this night? Would you take the Lord Jesus tonight as your personal Savior? Would you understand tonight, as I quote the hymn in closing, was it for me alone, the Savior left His glorious throne, the dazzling splendors of the sky. Was it for me? Was it for me? He came to die? The hymn of that chorus of that hymn goes, it was for me. Yes, all for me. Trust Him tonight. Take Him as your Savior. And you too will be able to sing, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day. Boys, you'll never be happy until you get the Savior. Until you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Boys and girls, remember this. You will never, never have peace and happiness. May God help you to trust Him. Shall we pray?